All right. I'm excited about the start, Will. You fit the profile of some folks who do well with Supernova. That profile has been around a while, understand the business, have the skills. It's just a matter of making some refinements and wanting to get better. This is, as you've learned, this is a business, at least my experience, you're either getting better or the business is passing you by. You're making this effort to get better. And I always remember the quote of Jack Welch, who used to run GE, and I may have mentioned this to you in our introductory call. One of his sayings was, change before you have to. That way you get to change at your own speed. So I'm tickled to get this thing started.
Just 1 second. We've had such madness around the office, but we're back to kind of normal. But I wanted to make sure Audrey knew who. So this whole thing, Audrey, I guess you know, is developed at Merrill, and then Rob was a branch director in Nashville. Is that right?
For 13 years, yes.
Yeah, so he was like, so you weren't a complex guy, you were the branch guy.
I was the complex guy. I had Nashville, Memphis, and four other smaller offices in Tennessee and Kentucky.
Audrey knows, but I started out at Merrill, and so I left in 06. So anyway, so I just want to make sure you knew Rob has been through the trenches and been through the dot-com crash. When did you leave Merrill?
I left Merrill in February of 07.
Okay, so, but anyway, they started the whole Supernova win around the dot-com crash.
Well, it goes back further than that, Will. I survived the 87 crash where the market went down 23% in 3 days.
Wow.
So it's what doesn't kill you makes you better.
Anyway, I kind of remember the 12-4-2 thing at Merrill Lynch, and so I just wanted you to know, make sure you were aware of his background. So he's kind of our chip. He was the Chip Anderson guy. He's our complex manager. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well,
he knows what he's doing. He knows what the heck he's doing is what I'm saying.
Well, that's the bet you're making, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I have complete confidence in you.
Well, good. While I touched on this in our introductory call, I want to give you a quick overview on how these 12 weeks will be structured. Be good for Audrey to know this. The first four weeks are going to be spent on the segmentation of your practice. That's getting your practice down to its core. You're starting from a pretty good position, but we want to tighten that up a little bit. What we're also going to do in the first 4 weeks is establish a minimum. We're going to help you define your ideal client, and then I'm going to help you hit the reset button on your practice. As you make these refinements to your practice, and we don't call them changes, we call them refinements. Changes sound like you're blowing something up. Refinements are making something that's good better. You're gonna roll these refinements out to your existing clients, the clients who are going to stay with you, and you're going to enjoy those conversations. Clients always like hearing that they're going to be part of something that is different and unique. So that's what we're going to do in the first 4 weeks. Second 4 weeks, we're going to get the practice organized in a repeatable way. What I found is for some people, getting organized is like a one-day event, and then a week later they're not organized. We get you organized in a repeatable way. We do this primarily through a folder system and an Excel spreadsheet that allows appointments to be scheduled efficiently. And then finally, the last 4 weeks will be spent on building acquisition strategies. Well, this is the part that most FAs enjoy the most, growing the practice. That's what we're going to be spending the last 4 weeks on. Your practice is down to its core. It's organized, and now you have time and the increased confidence to grow the practice. Now, having said that, those 3-4 week periods, there will be times that we will move around a little bit. If you bring something to me next week, and I'm just making this up, that's important to address at that time, instead of waiting for 3 or 4 weeks to do it, I will address it. You've got a manual that is the first 12 chapters roughly line up with what I'm going to be talking about. And I say roughly because everybody moves at a little different speed, Will. And what we really focus on is doing things well. I'll paint a false choices for you. If the choice was for you to race through this program and you don't feel good about it at the end, and at the other end, it's a little bit slower, but you feel really, really confident about what you built, we're going to default to slower with more quality every time. Everything will get covered, not exactly in order for most people.
Actually, just to interrupt, that totally fits my style, so I like that.
It's quality above speed all the time. Two other things. You have a Supernova guide, as I mentioned. The homework assignments for the following week are at the end of the current week. For example, on page 20, and you don't need to go to it, is your homework assignment for next week. After every call, you will receive a link to a video that will be extremely helpful as you go through Supernova. In that video, Rob Knapp walks through Supernova just to make sure you're getting everything. Also, on that email, you're going to get a link to this audio. So if there's something that I say that you didn't write down fast enough or you want to think about it again, you can go back and listen to our call. It's really important to get those things done. You've got the homework, you've got the video, and you got the audio. Having said that, I've done your job. I did your job for 12 years. I know how busy you are. If you don't get everything, all the homework done exactly the way you want it done, just stick with it. I'll walk you through it. We will get through everything. So that's a little of the groundwork. Any questions?
I don't. I'm going to get the manual bound and printed and bound and give one to Audrey. But it sounds like you also, each week, there's going to be is there a link to that section of the manual or just a link? Is that what you said?
At the end of chapter one, which is week one.
Okay.
You will see the homework. It'll say week one homework. Week one homework is the homework for week two. At the end of chapter two, you will see the homework for week three. So now, also, I will give you at times homework beyond what's in the manual, again, depending on what we talked about, and today will be one of those examples, something that I'll refer you to, that I'll send you, that's not in the homework on page 20. All right, anything else?
Audrey? No, we're good. We're ready.
Okay, one other thing. I start on time. I end on time. If we get to the end of the half hour, Will, and I haven't gotten exactly where I want to get, I will ask your permission to continue. But you can count on starting on time and ending on time. All right, just to confirm from our previous conversation, you've got approximately $46 million in assets?
Yes.
production of around 350?
Yes.
50 households?
Yeah, I just checked. The data says 55, but you're about right.
Okay. And do you have a sense for the percentage of your practice that is fee-based?
I would say over 90, maybe 95, maybe even high. It's virtually 100%.
Good, good. Okay, and I asked you this question last time, but I'm going to ask it again. There's a lot of repetition in Supernova. I worked for a fellow once who said you can never do the right thing, talk about the right thing too many times. So there's going to be some repetition. I asked you this last time. Your account minimum, you said you really didn't have an account minimum. Is that, have you thought any more about that?
I have not thought any more about it, but if you're telling me that's really important, I would pretty much accept that.
Well, I'm telling you, it's really important. It's part of how you brand yourself. Now, you don't have to come up with a minimum today, but I want to write something down in pencil. And I'm not leading you anywhere, Will. This isn't a game of who can have the biggest number. This is a exercise when it's completed about having the right minimum for you. It's better to have a minimum that you stick to than a higher minimum that you violate. If you violate your minimum, it sends a different signal to your referral sources that you'll develop. So if you had to have a minimum right now, what seems, and I know we haven't done any work on it, but what seems to be the right minimum for you?
Well, what seems right at the moment seems like about $500,000, but probably, I mean, the people who are producing most of my revenue are north of $1 million. So I don't know. I'd say $500,000 is what I got right now in my head.
Okay, that's in pencil. Now, we'll do an exercise next week that will make it more clear. Describe your ideal client. And I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about when you think of clients, what are some of the attributes, soft issues, soft characteristics that you have in your best client?
I think it would be mutual respect, that they respect my judgment and knowledge. That's a big one. There's mutual respect, good communication, that there's trust. They trust me, I trust them.
Yeah.
So if they don't listen to me, going back to the first point,
yeah,
that's a problem, and so I think.
What about likability?
Getting ready to say that, ideally, there's real genuine warmth and affection, because I really question whether you can have trust and therefore listen to people both ways unless you like each other. And so there's got to be some warmth. They got to be a good person. I don't deal with people who I don't really trust well. Like if I question their ethics, I don't work well with people like that. In fact, I don't have anybody like that. But I just don't think I work with people like. I just don't think it meshes. It clicks.
Well, all you can really control, and this is an aside, is from your position, is your attitude, your ethics, and your effort. If you think about it, everything flows into those. So if you demand that of yourself, I want to have a great attitude, I want to be beyond reproach ethically, and I want to give it maximum effort, those are things that you'd like to see in your client. So If a referral source said to you, Will, tell me about your ideal client, you would say, I want them to have respect for my judgment. I want them to follow my advice. I want them to respect my knowledge. I want there to be an element of trust. And frankly, I want people that I enjoy. That's a pretty good definition of your ideal client, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about a niche. A niche is doctors, lawyers, real estate people, retirees, and it doesn't have to be half your practice. It just has to be a meaningful part of your practice. Any niches come to mind?
No. I say that emphatically because, I'm very familiar with that concept. And there was a business professor at Georgia State. He wrote a lot of great books and talked about the kind of people who, yeah, they don't have a niche. It's very inefficient to not have a niche. So I'm aware of that deficiency. But no, I don't have one.
Okay, retirees?
Got one of everybody.
Okay, I'm hearing you. Now, just like your customer, your clients would say to you, or you say to a client, I will always give you my thoughts. I will always tell you what I think, but you get to make the final decision. I will tell you, I've never had a client in Supernova who did not have a niche. So let me just ask you this question. What about business owners?
I mean, that sounds great. It's not my niche, but I think that would be a great niche.
Now, what about, I'm asking it presently, what about retirees?
Are you asking me, is it a niche or would I like it to be?
No, is it? I just want you to, when you tell me you don't have a niche, that's hard to I've never had anybody who did not have a niche.
Okay, well. Yeah. Well, I mean, all my clients are retired almost, so.
Okay, that's a niche. Would you like to have more retirees like your best clients?
Sure.
Okay, I know it's a dumb question, but it's a real question. All right, I think as we go through this, you might find a couple others. What percentage of your people have a plan? I'm talking about a formal plan.
Well, that pre-work I sent you was incorrect or was vague. It said, I'm guessing 10%, but actually I found a tool in the computer system that says it's actually 27%. Now, if you're talking about using the planning software we have, it's 27%.
All right. Is that something that is part of your brand?
No, but I think it should be because, I'm relatively new here, so I'm still learning that system. But yeah. The more I learn about it, the more I think it's important and useful.
Does that system have a Monte Carlo simulation in it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I want that to be part of your brand. So we'll. You answer my questions. We'll get to the planning later. What's your competitive advantage? And, again, we touched on this last time. You walk into my office, I say, hey, Will, I'm busy, you're busy. Tell me why I should move my relationship to you. Usually the way you answer the question is what you perceive as your competitive advantage.
Well, that's a great point because I can't articulate one, honestly. But
okay. Let me tell you what your competitive advantage is going to be, and you'll figure this out very quickly, is the service that you offer. If you try to build a practice, being the world's greatest mutual fund picker or money manager, that's not going to work. Everybody has that. Everybody has that spiel somewhere in the package. Your competitive advantage is going to be your service model.
Okay. Okay, I got you.
That's something you can quantify. This is what I do. One thing I learned one of the things that I learned at Merrill Lynch managing folks is when people talked in the present tense, it was more powerful than in the future tense. When somebody says, this is what I do versus this is what I'm going to do, there's a big difference there. Do you see that?
Yes.
So when you're in front of a client and you say, this is what you're going to receive, and we'll go over that, well, here it is. I have a monthly scheduled contact. You can deliver that. That's part of your service. I mentioned to you last time the number one reason that people lose business, according to FAs, is failure to communicate with their client on a regular basis. So that's something that when a prospective client hears that, everything you say to a prospective client will, they're filtering through what they get now. You realize that? You sit with a prospect and you say, I offer a monthly scheduled contact, and they haven't heard from their Merrill Lynch advisor in 6 months. All of a sudden, you're drawing a distinction between what you do and what his present advisor does without being negative. You're talking about what you do. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. What's your motivation to use Supernova? Why are you making this? You're spending time. You're spending dollars. What's your motivation?
I guess, honestly, I need to grow the practice. I need to get it organized, and I need to get it efficient in order to do the first one.
Okay. All things we've already talked about. All right. Okay. I talked about the service model, your competitive advantage. Here it is. This is your service model. I'll beat you to death with this for a long time. Number one, monthly scheduled contact. Number two, rapid response to problems, questions, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. And then finally, multi-generational and fully implemented planning. That's what you do. So when you walk in and you're in front of a prospect and the prospect says, you know, why should I do business with you? Your response is, well, let me tell you what you will get. This is what my clients receive, not what my clients are going to receive, not what my clients will receive. This is what my clients receive. Number one, monthly scheduled contact. Four of those will be quarterly reviews, and two of those will be face-to-face. Second,
is that the best term, contact? Because it sounds kind of vague.
Now, ask me that again. You broke up a little bit.
I said, is that the best term, contact? Because review doesn't sound vague, but contact sounds a little vague, like what's going on in the contact. So, anyway.
Well, you're at, it's a great question. You're jumping ahead, but I want to answer your question.
Okay.
You know how to do quarterly reviews. You've been doing them your whole career. Not a big deal. I'll show you how to develop non-review month topics that you're talking to all your clients about.
Okay.
This isn't a, hey, how you doing? This is not a touch call. You don't feel good about those and your clients won't see any value. You will have a topic for that month.
That sounds great.
It's a good question. So, rapid response to problems, questions, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. I worked with a fellow in North Carolina, and not in your town, who had a major part of his business was physicians. A physician called in, needed a check sent out for a closing for some real estate, if I recall. 11 days later, he had to call and ask again for that check.
Ouch.
Ouch. You say that can't happen? That's exactly the story. So that's part of what you do. You have, when people ask for something, you deliver it. And then finally, multi-generational and fully implemented planning. That's what we talked about a minute ago. That's got to be part of what you do. Now, we're at the bottom of the hour. You got a couple of more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want you to begin to prepare for calls to clients who are staying with you. To that end, I would like you to prepare a script or bullet points of what you would like to tell your clients about the refinements in your practice. We're going to work on this. You're not going to start making these calls until you're comfortable, but to get prepared. Now, I'm going to send you, after this call, I'm going to send you a document, and it's titled Points to Make with Retained Clients. What I'm doing is giving you some bullet points to help you put together your script, for lack of a better word, that you're going to use with the clients who are staying with you. Secondly, I'm going to refer some page numbers to you that are in your manual. Page 14, and you don't have to go to the manual, just write these down. Page 14, there are letters to clients and letters to prospects talking about the refinements to your practice. Now, I'm not going to want you to send these letters out, but I want you to use those letters to gather some bullet points or to put your script together. Again, you don't send out letters only as a last resort. If you can't get a hold of someone, you're using those letters on page 14 to help you put together your script to roll your refined practice out. I would just point out, page 102, there are scripts for reassigned clients. I don't want you to spend any time on reassigned clients. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to put together the script for clients who are staying with you. I just refer to page 102 so you know it's there. Page 103 is a script for clients who are staying with you. And page 105 is a script for prospective clients, again, talking about your practice. So with these pages I've given you, Will, and the document I'm going to send you, you should don't worry about you can't deliver this practice yet. You can. This is, we're 30 minutes into it. But we will, before you send out or have these conversations, you will see how you're going to be able to deliver what you're rolling out to your clients. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here's the homework for next week. Page 20 in your Supernova guide. I've talked to you. I've mentioned that. Start to work on your script for clients who are staying with you. Number three, I want you to bring two lists to the call. One list is clients high to low by assets. I'm not going to ask you any names, but I want you to have in front of you a list of clients high to low by assets. I would imagine that's something that Audrey can print right off the computer for you. And I want to have another list by production. So you're going to have two lists in front of you. Got that?
Yes.
Okay. Number four, I want you to be watching for clients' recognition of value. The best time to start a referral discussion is when you offer value and clients recognize your value. When clients recognize your value, it's the best opportunity to start a referral discussion. You're not going to do it every time, but I want you to start to be aware of that. So I want you to, if somebody recognizes your value, most of the time that's a thank you. Hey, Will, thank you for getting back to me so quickly. Will, thank you for this. That's recognition of value. I want you to make a note of that and what it was about. You with me?
Okay.
All right. And then I would like for you to...
So are you saying I should make a list of, or are you saying going forward or think back of when people have done that.
No, starting today.
Okay.
Somebody recognizes value. I want you to make a note. And then what the question I will ask you next week is, Will, did anyone recognize value this week? And you can say, well, Rob, I was talking to Ms. Jones, and Ms. Jones really was happy, whatever. So I want what I'm trying to do, Will, is make you keenly aware of people recognizing your value. It happens to you all the time. FAs in general don't recognize it. Just to give you an example of where this goes, it's 5 weeks from now. You've rolled this out to your clients, and the client says, "Well, I really, really like these scheduled appointments." Do you see that as recognition of value? Do you?
Do I? Yes.
Okay. So the number one thing you do is you confirm that you heard it. You don't just do that FA thing, well, Ms. Jones, that's just what I do. That's not fair. She's given you a compliment. You've deflected it. And your response is, Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. I worked really hard to deliver that level of contact. So you see how you're confirming that you heard it?
Yes, that's different.
And from there, I will teach you a script that you will put into your own words, which would go something like, do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of contact? You start that conversation around what she has recognized as value. You don't do one of those things out of the blue. So, Ms. Jones, you know anybody else I'd be talking to that's, to me, not professional? You said you're not a big fan of being a salesman. Neither am I. But that sounds when you ask around, she's just giving you a compliment. You confirm you heard it. You say, gosh, Ms. Jones, anybody else you know who might appreciate that same type of service? You see how that's a lot different than giving me three names?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go over the homework again just to make sure. Page 20 in your Supernova guide. I don't have that with me. I'm traveling. But I think somewhere in those on page 20, it's going to say begin to make the calls. Don't do that. You're not ready yet.
Okay.
Ignore that part. Number two, work on the scripts for your clients who are staying. Just think about it this way, Will. You're talking to a client. You say, every once in a while I take a step back and look at my practice. I've been doing that over the last couple of weeks. I'm making some significant refinements. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about it? It can be a tag on to a normal conversation. Yeah, Will, tell me what you're doing. So just think, as you put your script together, think about that context. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about some refinements I'm making to my practice? Number three, bring those two lists to the call. One, high to low, assets high to low, production high to low. Number four, be aware of recognition of value. And number five, the last thing, and you'll have it already because you'll have those two lists, I might want to spend just a little bit of time looking at your top 20 households to see if there's any commonality. All right?
Sounds great.
thank you for saying that. This stuff works. What I'm going to ask you to do is to get out of your comfort zone. What happens, Will, when you get outside your comfort zone expands. And then if you continue to get outside your comfort zone, all of a sudden you look at your practice in a different way. What happens is you develop your service model. Some FAs are reluctant to get into referral discussions because they don't think they do anything differently. You will be doing things differently. So a lot we talked about here today. Sorry for going over, but it was a good use of our time. Any questions?
Audrey says no, but no, I really enjoyed that. And if I can implement what you're telling us, or we can implement what you're telling us, I think it would work nicely. So
well,
what I'm looking for.
I got good news for you. You can do it. Now I'm going to send that document out to you. Points to make with retained clients. Do you have my email address?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have my phone number?
Is that I think I'm not sure.
Write this down. 615.
Okay.
473-1701.
Okay.
Now, if you get in the ditch here, Audrey, you get in the ditch, I can get you out of the ditch a lot quicker than you can get yourself out. So if you got something that you don't want to wait till the next week to talk about, pick up the phone, and I will return your call. Maybe not immediately, but I will get back to you in the Supernova way, which is within 24 hours. All right?
Hey, I appreciate it. I hope your travels are great.
Well, I was on a dock fishing this morning about 3 hours ago. So
sounds great.
Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. My buddy was fishing, and I was talking and drinking coffee. All right. Let me know if I can help you. Do the homework. It's going to be fun, Will. We're going to have a good time doing this. You're going to like it a lot.
I think we will. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.